My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Did Standing Gas for Springsteen, Anthony?
Nah, I just decided to give him some.
He's just a sports writer, so every sports writer gets Springsteen. That's how it goes.
Hey, look, you know, maybe.
You know what he needs first, though? It's the introduction to Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Ben Standig, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic, is with us, author of The Athletic's annual NFL agent survey, and certified bona fide sports writer. Standig, do you fit the classic archetype stereotype of a giant Bruce Springsteen fan?
No, I like Springsteen, but have never unfortunately seen him in concert, and I don't like worship at the altar of Bruce, even though the boss is the boss and would love to see him. But no, I'm not one of those kind of sports writers.
Yeah, no, I kind of sounds like we're on the same boat. Like, I like him. My dad is a huge like super fan, so I definitely grew up with a lot of Springsteen in the house. I'm not like, you know, a lot of sports writers. Did you see the photo of like the ESPN Insider Avengers assembling at the Springsteen show in New York? That was literally like Jeff Passan, Woj, Schefter, like anybody who was like the top insider at ESPN was all at the same Springsteen show. And I was like, this is a little on the nose, guys.
Yeah. Every time I hear some sports writer say that that's their go-to, it is like, okay, I guess you just read that in the playbook to some degree that this is part of the deal, but sure. Enjoy yourself. I like the boss, but.
Yeah, maybe we're doing it wrong, Standing. Maybe we'd have higher profile gigs if we just were bigger Springsteen fans. Anyway, I think you're doing the Lord's work with this agent survey. I think it's really cool. It's something I look forward to every single year. Can you take us kind of a little bit inside the process and how it's evolved over the years? Like when you did the first annual one, how many agents were you talking to? What was the feedback like? Like how cooperative were they versus this year? Now 6 years in, you got 31 agents. And for, I believe, every single poll question that you asked, you got a full 31 responses. So what has it been like to do this year over year? And what was it like putting together this year's version?
Yeah. You know, it was, when I got to The Athletic back in 2019, it was a little more of the wild, wild west back then. Like you could kind of, you know, if you had an idea, you could probably execute it. And I was, you know, trying to come in there and, you know, make a name for myself. And, agents have an interesting reputation, as we all know, a little used car salesman, a little Bob Sugar in the Jerry Maguire movie. But, you know, they represent these players. They also, therefore, the ones that talk to the teams. They talk to not just one or two teams, they talk to all the teams, so they have good comparison points. And, you know, at first it was sort of a little bit of like, hey, tell me about, like, what are the key things about your job that we don't know about, and then some league stuff. And it's probably morphed more into questions about the league. You know, there's a lot of questions this year, or every year, about general managers, who's good at their job, who do they trust, things like that, and then a lot of other specific topics. But, you know, look, I try to change up the roster of people responding, but it's not completely that way. There's some people who've been in it several years, and from that, you know, you gain trust that, you know, they know you're not going to expose them or burn them or whatever. And so that led to, I think, in a more, like you said, more full responders, as well as, like, you know, a little more honest views in some cases. And I had a lot of questions I had to leave on the cutting room floor just because of space or what have you. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And I'd imagine, as someone who talks to a lot of folks around the league and especially a lot of agents, your conversations in the last 18 months have been very different than they were the first 4.5 years that you were doing this. And obviously you've been covering the team for longer than that. Is this the first time that you feel like, you know, not because last year was still a transition time, this year doing this, that like when you get to you know, the Commanders and you ask any questions you might about them, and or you're asking Lee questions and all of a sudden people have positive things to say about Washington. Was that a first, and what were those conversations like? Because I presume most of these agents know that that is your day job, is covering the Commanders.
Yeah. There's a question that is one question is like, what's the best run organization, like a top to bottom, not just the front office, but the whole thing. And then which is the most unstable? And the top answer for unstable this year was the Panthers, with 9 votes out of 31. But honestly, the answer I got the most was, boy, this was a lot easier when I could just pick Washington. You know, they actually had to think about it. And for years, that was a constant. And, you know, Bruce Allen was not somebody that was on everybody's Christmas list. Obviously, Dan Snyder goes without saying. And then, you know, whether it was Jay Gruden or Ron Rivera, since I've been doing it, you know, that factored in as well. But, yeah, there was a lot of positives about the Commanders in this one, from Adam Peters and just kind of everything that they did this offseason. That and just to be clear, this isn't winning off the field. This is, you know, this isn't winning the offseason when it meant signing Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders. This is putting infrastructure in place, getting rid of a poor setup to have a much better one, and people are bullish on that. So yes, a very, very, very different vibe this year, talking to people about the Commanders than the previous years.
One of the quotes that really caught my eye is Ben Standing's with us here on the Hoffman Show. Of course, you know Ben from his day job covering the Commanders on the beat for The Athletic, but also the author of their annual agent survey, which just came out this week. You can read it in The Athletic. One of the things that caught my eye, one of the quotes, Commanders adjacent, was they have a scouting structure now, something that they haven't had for 20 years, paraphrase from the agent who told you that. Can you, like, did you follow up on that, or just generally, can you expand on that based off of your knowledge of covering the team day to day? Like, what do you think that agent meant, slash what does it mean to have a scouting structure, and how has it mattered for them this offseason?
Yeah, I think part of it is, like, you know, like we've all heard the stories, right? Dan Snyder comes in from off the yacht to make the pick, or, you know, Bruce Allen in the middle of the night makes a trade for Alex Smith, it doesn't even consult his head coach. Like the fact that these things were occurring, it's not like they didn't have scouts on the road, but I think they do have a deeper group of people now on the scouting side in general. But now there's more checks and balances. There's more of a collaboration. There's now more of a logical, here's a scout, sends up the report, it goes up to the food chain, eventually gets to Peters, and then, you know, at some point they have a conversation about this player, whether just, you know, individually or in the context of the draft and so on. And before, like, even if you did some of those things, it just, you know, chaos would eventually ensue. And so I think it's a lot of that. Now, you know, even the last few years, I mean, you know, we obviously have all discussed the last week or so about how the draft classes have been pretty poor, you know, for this group. But even then, at least it was sort of like, all right, there's at least some sort of a structure. It just wasn't, you know, maybe you didn't have the right people at the end of the line, taking all the data and using that to find players. Like, you know, ironically, a lot of the scouts who were there then are still here now. They didn't fire a ton of scouts or anything. It's just there is more of a plan, of a process, of a structure to what is happening to get hopefully the best results.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Ben Standing with us here on the Hoffman Show. Adam Peters receives a couple of votes, one of the higher vote totals in terms of most trusted general managers. I'm guessing in years past when you've done this and asked the, hey, who's the future GM question, his name has come up. How do you think the respect and relationships that he's had have helped Washington hit the ground running in a way that maybe even they didn't anticipate? And I'll, sorry for the long-winded question here, Ben, but one of the things that caught my ear over the last couple of days when Peters spoke earlier in the week and when Newmark did yesterday was they both said they got more done this offseason than they anticipated. Which I thought was an interesting thing to kind of let out of the bag. And I'm curious how you think that their ability to hit the ground running goes back to maybe some work that they had done to build some of their relationships and things like that, earn the trust of agents over the past couple of years that they were in different positions.
Yeah, no, I mean, so yeah, like you said, one of the questions is who is the future GM to watch? It's a question I've been asking for 5 of the 6 years. And in the previous 4, Adam Peters received at least 1 vote every year, and the last 3 years, he either was the outright winner or tied for first. So his reputation has been pretty stacked for a while. He was just obviously waiting to find a good opportunity. Look, I think that he's obviously well-respected. He was on a team with San Francisco that has, you know, a ton of success during that time that he was there. And, it says a lot about, you know, even just beyond this survey, just since, you know, Peters was on the radar to get the job. And once he did, I just over and over again, people are pretty effusive in their praise of him, both as an executive, as a talent evaluator, and just as like a person to deal with. So obviously, I think that has a lot to do with his ability to get this thing going, because he clearly is coming from a good place of understanding what it takes to get this thing done. And Newmark, you know, he's been in the game for a long time. He's with the Lions this entire time, which obviously for most of that tenure was not really a good thing in terms of the success they were having. But the last few years, certainly they've turned things around, and he was there for that as well. And he and Peters, became tight over the years of being on the road and so on. So, yeah, I mean, Peters clearly knows what to do, how it all works out. You know, we'll have to wait and see. But he clearly has a great reputation, and there was another question about who is the best GM. Well, since he hasn't actually had the job, he wasn't involved there. But, it's not going to surprise me at all if he's, top 5 on that list by next year, assuming that Washington at least has a competitive year, even if that doesn't mean, a ton of losses or a ton of wins.
Right. No, totally, totally with you on that. I'm also curious, Ben, because Brandon Sosna then is 2nd, receiving 3 of the votes for who is a future GM on this year's version. When was the last time Washington had someone that was a viable answer? Because I just feel like there's been such a dearth of talent in the building for such a long time. Has, in the history of you doing this, has there ever been a Washington person on the future GM, the list, like Brandon Sosna, already is in year 1 under Adam Peters here in D.C.?
Yeah, Lance Newmark also got 1 vote in that category. No, I think the answer is no. I'm not sure that Kyle Smith ever did get 1. Like, when I would talk to people about Kyle, he was not, there were people that liked him, but I think just like with so many other aspects, everybody was brought down by the dark clouds hovering over this place, and nobody could get the complete feel goods from others around the league, because it's always, questions about what's going on here. So, no, I mean, that's the thing, to have, again, just to use this small sample size, to have Peters, a consistent winner, if not at least guy that's getting mentioned, and then to have Sosna, I knew he had a positive vibes. You know, he was at USC as like a 28, 29-year-old. Then he goes to Detroit. He's only 31 now. And to hear some of these agents really praise him, you know, he was like the Lions' contract guy last year. He's in charge of the Commanders' football ops, and he's overseeing other things like at the analytics. There's a lot that goes into that as a thinker, as a person, as a communicator. And, based on what you've heard from these agents, I don't imagine it'll be too long before Sosna gets an opportunity to get his own shot to run.
Ben Standing with us here on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Non-commander stuff in this survey, Ben. One of the most interesting sets of answers that I found was the hard knock section on the Giants. Most of the agents said this was terrible for the Giants. I thought it was really interesting because in talking to some people like who cover the team, like our guy Sean Mraz up in New York for WFAN, he's like, people are kind of hating on Joe Shane, but like Joe Shane is actually doing the correct stuff here. It's everyone else in the room who needs an adjustment. And so to hear all these agents be like, man, that's not a great look for Shane. Even some of them saying like, I didn't think it was a good look for the Giants, but I actually like Shane as a GM. Do you think that they're right that this will actually affect how teams handle hard knocks, especially the offseason version in the future? Or is this a bunch of agents, you know, just spouting off hot takes, pretending that, I don't know, they have my job?
Yeah, well, you know, look, like when we watch the regular Hard Knocks, which to me I've kind of bailed on a few years ago, you know, it was a really interesting concept, and, you know, now it's watered down. Every team kind of has some version. But generally speaking, the interesting thing there was, like, the, you know, we weren't really seeing the game plan, right? We weren't seeing how the coaches were kind of really choosing how they were going to run the team. There was a lot of personal profiles and, you know, some interesting conversations along the way. This was much more in the weeds in terms of the actual art of free agency and the draft and putting a team together and negotiating. I mean, that Joe Shane, Saquon Barkley conversation before Barkley decides to go to Philly, I mean, it was pretty fascinating to see a GM and a player, you know, have the conversation we've all always wondered about. You know, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to let us know, what have you. And then not to mention, you know, they're talking to quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels included, before they're deciding what to do. They're debating, you know, trade up or we stay here, et cetera. So I think that was all really interesting. I liked it. But at the same time, it's showing really kind of how the sausage is made where the regular Hard Knocks doesn't. And I can imagine a lot of teams are kind of like, I don't know. Do we really want to show what we're doing here? Now, obviously, it's happening way after the fact, so it's not like it cost them in terms of the draft or free agency. But I definitely do wonder if teams are going to, you know, won't be willing to do that going forward, even though, like I said, I found it fascinating. I think the other thing I do wonder is, you know, the genius term gets thrown around a ton, you know, when it comes to this league, whether it's play callers or sometimes talent evaluators. And the one thing that struck me watching that, I'm not saying the conversations and debates weren't interesting, but in a lot of cases, they weren't very dissimilar to the ones that we all kind of have.
Right.
And I know we only saw a snippet of it. There are obviously a lot more hours in the day we don't see. But, and that's the thing, like, there's only, you know, they're not splitting the atom. This isn't like watching Oppenheimer trying to figure out, you know, how do you make an atomic bomb work and what do you do with it? This is like, well, do we spend this much on a running back? Do we trade up? Do we like this guy, you know? Do we like this kid's answers? It's same thing we always kind of do. So I think that it pulled back the curtain in a fun way, I think, for us, but it also, I think, maybe made the whole process seem a little more generic than for some people would think. And that's perhaps why it's also not ideal, because it doesn't make everybody look as brainiac as perhaps the perception is.
Right. Now, I think that's a great point, because I think to your point and how much gets cut, like, I think probably some fans walk away thinking that's the entire process, and it's not. Like, they lay out on a very, like, they laid out a bunch of headlines, and then off camera, they're writing the story. And I think that part is really important to point out. And if there was a way to provide just an ounce of that kind of insight, and I feel like they did it sometimes. I mean, the Giants, you know, the Bears are getting criticized right now for exercising a lot of editorial control over Hard Knocks, and they're, you know, it just kind of became this almost like propaganda-y type of thing for the Bears, and they seem to not let any real drama out. They didn't do a lot of stuff beyond Caleb in terms of personal interest stories, even to the extent that they've done in other Hard Knock seasons. And for the Giants, like, it felt like they went about as far as they could in letting the cameras in and letting stuff stay in the show. And I do wonder if other league executives are like, I don't want people to think that that's what we do, because what we do is so much deeper than this surface level stuff, and we can't give away the secrets. And then, you know, we already deal with every fan in America thinking that they could do our job anyway. And all this does is cement that, because they forget all the stuff that winds up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, it's basically like every person in those rooms already, you know, read the information, watched the film, assessed what they did, and then they come into the conversation with everybody having a baseline that's higher than what we all can see, and then have the basic chat of what do they think. It's not the deeper details of, you know, intricacies of what the wide receiver on tape is doing or how the cornerback reacts to this or that, whatever it might be. And then, you know, even things like the salary cap, it's not just, boy, it'll cost a lot of money. Well, it's really digging into how things could potentially work and so on. So, yes, it's a simplistic look at the situation, but like you said, they pushed it seemingly about as far as they could, and that was just that's enough to be intriguing and to maybe, like, you know, like you said, to have people think they know more than what's really being shown.
Last thing for Ben Standick here on the Hoffman Show. You closed out with kind of an open-ended, like, wish list question. If given the power, what's the one change in the NFL universe you would make? You took guaranteed salaries and eliminating the franchise tag off the table, because that would be most agents' number one request. Was there any of these proposals that you really liked and or you think actually has a chance of becoming reality, let's say, in the next 5 years?
Well, you know, they talked, a lot of them just said, hey, you know, you got to get rid of the artificial, you know, anything that's like not pure grass field, you know, you got to get rid of that for a player safety. You know, the one that always tried to drive me crazy is, it's one thing to have the extra games now, 17, it'll likely be 18, but when they make teams play like on a Sunday night and then on a Thursday, mm-hmm. that type of stuff just is crazy. And if they're going to go to 18 games, you know, are they going to put in a second bye? If you don't, then I think that's, you know, gets pretty outlandish in terms of claiming you're worrying about player safety. And that's something that a lot of these agents, you know, talk about. Like there was a different question about, are you cool if the league goes to 18 games? And a lot of them were like, yeah, but in part because it means more money for everybody involved. But it's like, yes, but only if there is that second bye. Or like someone suggested, no buys until week 7. That way the teams get, you know, you don't need really a bye after week 4, right? In theory. So, you know, if they do the right things around the notion of player safety, then I think a lot of this could work and make sense. But that's, I think, been the rub for a lot of agents and the players, is that you can't just keep adding these games and then have teams playing on a Sunday night and then Thursday. Like that, it's just bad for the product, for not even just the health of the players. It just makes for a lesser product. So I think that was something, those are the type of things that stood out. And, you know, there's some other interesting ones, like every guaranteed contract under 3 years. Sorry, every contract with 3 years or less should be guaranteed. You know, okay, I think that's an interesting notion, right? I mean, the Commanders just signed, you know, an army of players on one-year deals. Should those be guaranteed as opposed to a four-year deal that's only somewhat? I don't know. That's interesting. You know, anything to help sort of the players who have this very short window to play and make money, I think can make a lot of sense. But, I think those are and of course, the agents are going to be on the player side. Let's just be clear about that. So, you know, I think some of those were the ones that were interesting, but there was a bunch of other ones for sure.
For sure. We could do probably a couple of shows just on the entirety of topics in this. There's so much good stuff in here. And if we had you in for it, we could probably make a whole week out of shows, because I'm sure that there's stuff that got left on the cutting room floor. You can read Ben Standig's 6th annual NFL agent survey in The Athletic. And of course, we'll be talking to Ben as Kevin Sheehan does, as Russell does, all season long. You'll be hearing him here on the Team 980 as the Commanders get going a week from Sunday in Tampa. Ben, enjoy your final non-NFL football weekend, my friend.
Oh, boy.
That's here.
Like that. I got a lot of resting to do here, but unfortunately, I got a lot of work to do. So we'll see. But I appreciate it. And yeah, we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. That's Ben Stanek, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. Of course, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic. When we get back, oh, man, Logan got going on one on Take Command about the Commanders' offensive line situation. You got to hear this discussion, and we'll talk about it next on The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.